Ken, this won't surprise you, but guess what scripture I'm going to open up with? John 15, 9 through 14. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Yes. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, even as I obey my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. So the Lord's commandments bring us joy. And keeping his commandments bring us joy. Fullness of joy is in keeping his commandments. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for one's friends. And you are my friends if... Finish that. You are my friends if you keep my commands. You see that? Those who keep the commands of Jesus enjoy a personal love that is only shared among the family of God. The Greek word for this love is not agape. If you've been in the church around for very many years, you know that there are different words for love. There's agape, there's phileo, there's eros, and there's sterga. I think there's three or four. And you may have heard various ideas about that. This Greek word for here, for friend, is phileo. It's philos. It's an intimate, personal love. Now, you may have heard, and I do not want to try to say I'm correcting what you've heard. Because there are those, I've heard it taught that agape is the greatest love, and phileo is a little lesser than that, and eros is more of the erotic love. Here's what I've received on this. What's special about this love is it's intimate and personal. You have an intimate, personal relationship with me if you keep my commands. And I'm going to call you my intimate and personal phileo ones, my personal friends, if you do what I command. See, for God so loved the world, that's agape. God loves the world, and he so agape'd the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But it's only those who keep the commands of God who experience the phileo, the personal and intimate love of a relationship between friends. In John chapter 5, verse 20, listen to this. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. What word do you think for love is there? The Father agapes the Son or the Father phileos the Son? What do you think? It's phileo. The Father has a special personal love with the Son. He loves the world, but he phileos the Son. He has a personal love for him. John chapter 15, verse 19. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world would love you as its own. What Greek word do you think there is love? Phileo. If you were friends of the world, they'd be your friends right back. But as it is, I've called you out of the world. So you're not sharing their cultures and their values. Therefore, the world doesn't phileo you. You're not friends with them because they're not friends with me. Yes. That's the idea of this word. And matter of fact, in James chapter 4, verse 4, James said, you adulterous people. Now, you know what an adulteress is? An adulteress is someone who's married to someone and enjoying herself with another man who's not her husband. So you get the picture? You adulterous ones, don't you know that friendship with the world, there's the form of phileo, philia. Having an affiliation with the world, friendship with the world is hatred towards God. Anyone who chooses to be a phileo, a friend of the world, makes himself the enemy of God. That's what James 4:4-5 says. You know, the Pharisees accused Jesus of being the friend, the phileo, the friend of sinners. You think he was just hanging out with them?
No.
Enjoying a couple of drinks at the bar?
No.
No. Jesus was receiving them in their humility and their contrition, guiding them into repentance and bringing them into a relationship with His Heavenly Father. In that sense, see, they were, those sinners were the outcasts. They weren't friends of the Pharisees, were they? They were the sinners. But Jesus received them as friends because He was restoring them to the Father. This is what it says about Lazarus. So you can see how this word phileo continues on. Lazarus was a philos of Jesus, a personal friend. And in John chapter 11, verse 3, they came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, the one you phileo is sick." He had a special personal friendship there. And when Jesus came, and you know the story, and He finally went to the tomb, and they asked Him how long He'd been dead, and He said 4 days. The first thing it says, the shortest verse in the Bible. Who can tell me what the shortest verse in the Bible is?
Jesus wept.
It did. And then what the people said after Jesus wept, see how He phileoed him. Ah, He's right there again. Very special. Very personal. Very intimate love. Not a lesser love at all. Just extremely personal. And warm. Phileo is the special love between friends. And remember what Jesus said, because I'm setting you up. You are my friends if you keep my commands. You see that? One of the greatest compliments that's recorded about Abraham in the book of James. And this is recorded right after the description that, you know, Abraham was the one who was willing to take his son. You take your Isaac, your only son, and you go to the place that I will show you, and you sacrifice him there to me. And Abraham went through with it all the way to the point where he was bringing the knife down and had to be stopped. And the Lord said, "Now I know that you fear me." You know what the highest compliment given to Abraham was? He was called the friend, the philos of God. Wow. And listen to what the Lord says about him. You remember that three visitors came to Abraham right before Sodom and Gomorrah's destruction. Two of them were an angel, and one of them was the Lord. And after they had this meal, Abraham recognized them right away that they were holy men and the presence of the Lord. And they had this meal together. And then the two angels went off to Sodom and Gomorrah. And then the Lord has this conversation about Abraham. This is in Genesis chapter 18, I believe it is. When the men got up to leave, they looked down towards Sodom. And Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Then the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do?" Remember, the scripture says, "The secrets of the Lord are with them that fear Him."
Amen.
See, Abraham has a special fear of the Lord. He's a friend of God. And he goes on to say, "Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised." Can you see with that heart why the Lord called him, "You're my friend"? Wow, what a testimony to have that the Lord says, "This man is my friend. He keeps my word." Wow. See, how we keep God's word reveals the level of our relationship. That's really what reveals the level of our relationship with Him. And John said this, the Apostle John said this in his letter of 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. "We know that we have come to know Him." In other words, we know that we have this special relationship with Him. We know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commands. The man who says, "I know Him," but does not keep His command is a liar, and the truth is not in him. See, there's no discrepancy. John understood what Jesus said. "You're my friend. You know me if you keep my commands. You can't say I know the Lord and not obey His commands." Not according to the scripture. The difference in agape and phileo becomes beautifully seen in a conversation that Jesus had with Peter after the resurrection. Remember, after Peter had denied the Lord 3 times, And then the rooster crowed. But after the resurrection, it's like Jesus gives Peter a chance to recant, almost to recover. He gives, you know, the Lord gives us often a second chance, doesn't he? Two or three or four times to make right what we blew the first time. Well, I want you to understand how wonderfully different these words are. Because I've enjoyed being able to read the scriptures in the original language. And you just don't necessarily get it if you read it in the original language. Because in English it's, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Yeah. Then feed my sheep. Jesus asks again, Peter, do you love me? Yes, you know I love you. It's just the same word, but it's different in the original language. So let me share with you how it should be, how it really is. The first question Jesus asked Peter, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon Peter, do you love me? Agape. Peter, do you agape me? And Peter says, no, Lord, you know I phileo you. I'm your friend. Peter and Jesus says, feed my lambs. And again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you agape me? And Peter, he answered, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. I'm your friend. It's more than just love in general. So then the third time, Jesus said to Peter, Simon, son of John, do you phileo me? And it said, Peter was hurt to the heart. He said, Lord, you know all things. You know I phileo you. This wasn't about a greater and a lesser. He was asking, are you really my friend? Are you going to keep my word? Feed my sheep. You know, it's not that agape is the greater and the phileo is the lesser. Phileo is this intimate and personal love that is only for the believer. And you know that Jesus is jealous to have this love with us? This is being able to read this in the original language. I saw this in Matthew chapter 10, where Jesus is telling his disciples this. Anyone who phileos their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. You have more of a connection with your father and mother than me, who gave them breath, who exist because I made them. You care about them more than me. You're not worthy. And anyone who loves son or daughter, phileo. Anyone who phileos their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Jesus wants to be the closest friend we have. I used to teach children this song. My best friend is Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. My best friend is Jesus. Praise Him. You know? It's the way it's supposed to be. But it's not that way with everyone. You know, having this personal love with Jesus was so understood amongst the early Christian. It was their term. It was the family term. Paul told Titus in his letter, greet all those who phileo me in the faith. Another greet all the ones who are my friends, my personal friends. Greet all of them in the faith. And the early Christians would have been the only ones that would have understood this correctly. I remember the first time that I actually read this. I was reading it in the Greek New Testament in the end of Paul's letter to the church of Corinth, his first letter, chapter 16. I read this and it just shocked me. Here's what Paul said. A curse on everyone who does not phileo the Lord. Wow. It's like they would have understood that. You just wouldn't have had this distant respect. He's the good man upstairs, but no deep and personal friendship. That is not what God will ever settle for. God wants to be as close to us as anyone in our life. And that's understood in the early church. And you know what the sign of this special love was? It's a form of the same word. It's phileo, is I love, it, as a friend. It's philos, is the word for friend. And phileima is this. So the Christians did this. Greet one another with the holy phileima. That lets you know your family. You're connected. We're not to do that now. We're on social distancing. So you can't do it right now. In the future. Now, you laugh. You know, some cultures still do that. When I'm down in Mexico, I go to a restaurant. And someone comes around me at the next table, and it's like this. And they kiss every person, usually on the cheek, everyone. I knew a bunch of a group of Russians. We had Bible studies together. And oftentimes, get ready for it. It caught me off guard the first time. It's hug. They greet one another with the holy kiss. So it is the very word. And you know what's so sad about that? You know that? This is what makes that sad. The scripture says Judas betrayed the Lord with the philema, the sign of friendship. Wow, what a thing. See, this special love between friends brings a grace of protection to those who share it. It's a special thing to be the Lord's friend. In Revelation chapter 3, this it brings this protection in case we stray. Listen to this. This is to the angel to the church in Laodicea. These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. And I wish that you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, what am I about to do? I am about to spew you out of my mouth. You say I'm rich. I've acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize the way I see you, you are pitiful, wretched, poor, and blind. And I counsel you, buy from me gold refined in the fire and salve for your eyes that you can really see. And then he says this, those whom I phileo, I rebuke and discipline.
Amen.
You see, if you're the Lord's friend and you start to go astray, you know what he's going to do to you? He's going to rebuke you and discipline you. But what if you're not the Lord's friend and you're going astray? By Sam, or by Paul, or by John, whom the Lord phileos, he disciplines. If you're his friend, I didn't correct all the children in the neighborhood, I spanked mine. See, we're not the Lord's friend, he may just leave us alone. But if we're his friends, he'll deal with it. We have a special grace when we know it, when we're his friend. When we've been keeping his command and we've enjoyed that friendship, we start to go astray. And he will then intervene in our lives. So we need to be careful to guard and cherish this personal love. Do you remember the Lord's words to the church of Ephesus? This is the first church in Revelation. And they were the church that was still going strong and even doing more things than that they had done at first. And they had remained faithful and they had held to the sound teaching and they had not denied the Lord's name. But then he adds, but I have this against you. You have what?
Left your first.
Left. That's correct, Rudy. Some people say lost, like I've lost it somewhere. And it didn't say you've lost your first love. You have left it. You walked away from it. You stopped taking care of it. You stopped paying attention to the most important thing between you and I. Then he says this, remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do what you did at first. You know what all of us did at first when we first came to know the Lord? We got to know him. We got to enjoy how wonderful he was. That's the first work. It's the most important thing, because the more we know him, the more that we love him. He's that wonderful. And here's what Jesus told them. He didn't stop there. He said to them, remember the height you have from which you have fallen and do the first works. But if you don't repent, I'm going to remove your lampstand out of its place. The lampstand of the church. You know, we're supposed to be the light of the world. So if the Lord takes the lampstand of a church out of place, what do you think happens to that church?
Goodbye.
Bye. Why should the Lord have a group of people as his special witnesses who don't even love him? Why should he keep them around? Do you brag on your kids that are always in trouble? No. You talk about the good ones. You just forget to mention the other ones. Listen, if we want to be special to the Lord, we want to be filled with a love that is fervent. Never be lacking in spirit. Be diligent. Have a fervor serving the Lord. Do you remember what the scripture that Jesus quoted in his dealing with the people of Israel? You know, and remember, Israel was God's chosen people, right? But they also left their first love. And this is what Jesus said of them. He quoted the book of Isaiah in Matthew chapter 8. And he said this, "You hypocrites." And you know what a hypocrite was? Hypokrites means under face. It was the Greek term for the actor. They would hold up in front of their face a caricature of the person that they were portraying. And a hypocrite is someone who's under face. You present yourself as something, but you're not really. It's not really who you are. And this is what he said of the people of Israel. They were the chosen people, but they really weren't. He said, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." Muy lejos de mí. They're far from me. And they worship me in vain. That's pretty serious. It says they worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. Did you realize that one of the Ten Commandments is, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." And it goes on to say, "The Lord will not cleanse anyone who takes his name in vain." Do you realize what he just described as taking the Lord's name in vain is? Saying you love him with your lips while your heart is far from him. That's taking the Lord's name in vain. And you know what the Lord's going to tell people who just honored him with their lips but their hearts were far from him? He's going to say, "Yes, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." We weren't philos. We weren't friends. We had no special intimate relationship. You just kind of served and waved at me from afar, hoping you didn't have to go to hell and that I'd let you into heaven because I recognized you from afar off. No. A lot of us have loved ones we're concerned with. And you know what's sad? Some of us are only concerned that they make it to heaven rather than she should be concerned that they get restored to a vibrant relationship with Jesus.
Amen.
Because if they get to know Jesus Christ, they'll be in heaven.
Amen.
Don't just hope that they get there and they don't even want to be there. Ask the Lord to touch the heart behind the distance, right? That's what we should be concerned about. You know, this is the grave danger we're facing. I'm serious. We, as a church, you and I are facing. Because Jesus warned about this condition in the last days in Matthew chapter 24. This is about the middle of the chapter. "Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of me." And the word "hate" there is meseo in the Greek. It really means to be despised, disdained, thought of as nothing. And you know what? Right now, in the eyes of much of the world, Christians are just the idiots who haven't woken up to the truth yet. In the eyes of the world, we're still those who believe that book, that old myth. We're not enlightened like they are. This is happening. We're already being viewed this way all over the world. But Jesus goes on to say, not only did he say, "You'll be hated by all nations because of me," at that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and not think highly of each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many. And because of the increase of lawlessness, the love of the many will wax cold. That's the danger we're facing. Lawlessness is increasing. And the more lawlessness increases, the more in danger we are that our personal love for Christ will be affected. And that's pretty serious, isn't it? The Apostle Paul wrote this. He echoed the same concern, moved by the Holy Spirit to write this to Timothy in his second letter to Timothy. Here's what Paul told Timothy. You mark this, Timothy. There will be terrible times in the last days. The Greek word for terrible there means extremely difficult to exist in. There will be perilous is one of the common English words used to translate. There will be perilous times in the last days. And people will be lovers of themselves. You think it's agape or phileo there? Phileo. Oh yeah. Their best friend is themselves. Their best friend with themselves. They are out for me and number one. I, me, and my is the greatest thing in their life. You know where that leads a person? To homelessness. It leads a person to homelessness because you break so many relationships. So many people get tired because you don't think of them. You don't live for them. You're not considerate of them. You don't put them in context. That you've broken relationship after relationship. You end up burning all the bridges and there's not a couch to sleep on. Not a brother, not a sister, not a family member, not an uncle or a friend who even wants to be around you because all you ever think about is you. Lovers of themselves. Then lovers of pleasure. But the next one is lovers of money. There it again, philo. They're friend with a dollar bill. They are friend. Paul said this, the philema de argus, the love of money is the root of all evil. Oh man. So, does this sound like our society? Let's get this country back to work again so we can make money. Boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good. Not phileoing the good. Not intimate with the good. Here's what treacherous, rash, conceited. And then it says this. Phileo of pleasure. Lovers of pleasure more than phileo of God. Word Milan, the Greek word for it's a comparative term. It, some versions say rather than. Some verses say instead of, it's a comparative in the Greek. It means they are personal, they're more personally, intimately acquainted with pleasure than they are with God. They're much closer to their own pleasures than they are to pleasing God. And you know what these people have? They have a form of godliness. And I'm not picking on any one religion. No way. And that's not a joke. You can do this. You can genuflect. You can make the sign of the cross. You can say amen. You can be in church. You can be a teacher. But the evidence of the real heart and personal knowledge of the Lord Jesus is whatever he says, that's what you do.
Amen.
And it's not just in church. It's anywhere you are, wherever you live. That's how you're known at work. That's how your wife knows you. That's how your husband knows you. That's how your children know you. You are consistent because the words of Jesus Christ guide your life.
Amen.
You're his friend. You're his friend. Remember what... I'll just put this. Being religious does not mean we love God. You know what Jesus told the Pharisees? And you know who the Pharisees were? They were the most religious Jews of all. Most of the Pharisees could probably quote the entire first five books of the Bible by heart.
Yeah.
Probably by heart. They could probably quote. They were that devoted and disciplined. But Jesus said this. He told them, I know that you do not have the love of God in your heart. He said that to the most committed. You know why he said? Because I've come in my Father's name and you don't receive me. You say you love God. He's the one who sent me. You won't accept me. He just nailed them right there. You know? And you know what he said that the Pharisees of all people? And I have to be watch for this. You better watch what you pay me, because you know what the Pharisees, what Jesus said to them? They are phileo of money.
Yeah.
The Pharisees love money. They profited evidently from being so religious. What a shame. Remember what our Lord warned us. And this is to us. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If any man loves the world or the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the sinful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world and its desires are passing away. But he who does the will of the Father abides forever. God's friends do the will of him, and they will abide for heaven, forever. You know what heaven's going to be? Heaven's going to be the family reunion.
Amen.
No one else will be there but those who keep the command of Jesus Christ. It's only going to be. Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for
you.
It's not I go and prepare a place for everyone. Now, a lot of funeral directors have not figured that out. Because every funeral I've ever been to, every person goes there. But that is not the case. Heaven is a family reunion for the faithful followers of Jesus Christ who love him with all their heart. And we just want to be careful that we are not affected by this increasing lawlessness in our culture and let our own love start to cool. Because you can start well and end very bad. I want you to think of someone in the Scripture who started very well. I mean, the first part of his life was so awesome, we actually call him the wisest man in the Bible. Solomon. Listen, let's reflect on the testimony. You know why we have that testimony? Paul told this to the Corinthians. He said, these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for us as a warning. So let's see if we can learn from the warning we've been left from watching Solomon's life. You know, Solomon was the son of David. Not the first son, the second son, because David's first son died. But Solomon was the second son of David from the wife of Bathsheba, by the way. But you know, when Solomon was a young man, you know what happened? He became the next king, and what did the Lord appeared to him and said, ask me for whatever you want. And what did Solomon ask for? Wisdom and understanding, so that he could be a just and faithful ruler. And the Lord filled him with wisdom and understanding. And the Lord said, because you have asked me for such a right thing, not only will I give you wisdom and understanding, but I'm going to give you wealth. I'm going to make you famous in all the earth. And Solomon started off very well. Now, in the book of the law, Deuteronomy chapter 17, there were some instructions about kings. When a king, because the Lord knew they were going to ask for a king someday, so even before they did, he gave them instructions. This is what a king was to do. Whenever a king starts to take the throne, the first thing he's to do is to make his own handwritten copy of the law.
Yeah.
That's pretty wise, isn't it? That would make sure you understood every single thing was there. Not just make your own copy and to read from it all the days of your life. That was the first thing. And then there were several other instructions, and you can check me out on this, Deuteronomy 17. These are several other instructions that the kings were not to do. Because, you know, this was Israel's early kings, and they didn't need to become like the kings of the other nations. So here's what the Lord told the kings of Israel not to do. Do not collect and gather in large amounts of silver and gold. And they were not to amass a larger number of horses and chariots. And they were never to send anyone back to Egypt to get the horses from there, even though they were famous. Don't get chariots from there. Don't get horses from there. And then there was one other instruction. And do not marry many women. Don't take too many wives. How do you think Solomon did? Silver was so common in Solomon's house that they stopped counting it. And he amassed massive amounts of gold from all over the earth. And guess what? Solomon had 12,000 horses and chariots. And guess where he sent to buy the finest horses and chariots?
Egypt.
And guess how many wives Solomon had? 700. But that wasn't enough. He added 300 more concubines to round it up to 1,000. And you know what the scripture says? The Greek Old Testament says that Solomon was a phileo of women. Phileo gunais. Gunais is the Greek word for women. Phileo gunais. He was fond of women. Didn't end well, did he? Here's what happened. In 1 Kings 11, it says Solomon was philogunais. He was a lover of women, and his wives inclined his heart away from the Lord. You know what an incline is? Oh, yeah, I'm just leaning. I haven't gone anywhere, Lord. I'm just leaning away. You know when the earth is inclining away from the sun because of its on rotation? What season is it?
Winter.
When you're leaning, when the earth is leaning towards the sun, it's summer. We need to be careful which way our heart is leaning. Because it'll make a difference of life and death. It certainly did for Solomon. And here's what he goes on to say. His wives inclined his heart away, and his heart was not perfect towards the Lord. The Greek word for perfect, telos, means whole, complete, full. It's interesting that Jesus, one time Jesus said, "And you shall be perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect." One time. You remember what context he said that in? The Father, he is good to the just and the unjust. He sends rain upon the just and the unjust. The sun shines. He's kind to the merciful and the unmerciful and the ungrateful, the wicked and the ungrateful. And in speaking about how we're to love, Jesus said, "You be perfect. You have a heart that is full." Because you either have a perfect heart, or the scripture warns about having a divided heart. And if your heart is divided, that means you have a heart in two places. And what do you think the two places are? One there, and where's the other place? You know what that makes you? A double heart is connected to the mind. What does that make you? Double heart is going to give you a double mind. And the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If your heart is completely in love with God, it'll be a guard to you. Okay? We need to remember to turn these phones off. Don't forget. $5 to the preacher. All right. Seriously, let me please hear this. I believe this is one of the greatest threats we're facing. And I'm not being silly here. Greater than COVID-19. Greater than terrorist attacks. Greater than socialism or communism. Even greater than climate change. And follow me. Don't let me lose you. The earth may be getting warmer. I'm not a denier of climate change. And there may be an extreme danger from global warming. It may be very real. But I think the greater danger facing the church is global cooling. Well, that's a real danger we're facing. Whatever happens to us on this earth only affects these physical bodies. What happens to our spirits affects us for eternity. Yeah, we're definitely in danger of this. And that's why, as I close, that's why we need to take our responsibility to encourage one another very seriously. To exhort. The word is exhort. Parakaleo. And it's used of a military officer, like a captain or a general. And when he would parakaleo his troops, basically he would say, hold the line. Don't give in. Don't break rank. Keep your position. Is that the way y'all feel sometimes when you sit up there and I'm talking to you? Hold your position. Don't let the devil move you. Don't let yourself be corrupted by the enemy. Stand your ground. Be alert. Be strong. The scripture says we're to exhort one another. Here's what it says in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 17 to 14. So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation, because I said they are always going astray in their hearts. Isn't that interesting? The Lord looks upon the heart. He knows if you're sitting in the pew, but you've gone astray in your heart. He knows. I may not know. I'm glad you're here, by the way. But it sure would be good to be not only your body be here, but your heart here. Amen. All the way as well.
Amen.
It says, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my way. So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And then he says this, and I want to end with this. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but exhort one another all the more as you see the day approaching. We see it's getting worse out there. We see it's getting worse. We need to be exhorting one another. Let's be careful. Let's hold the course. Let's guard our hearts, all right? Let's make sure. Because it says, we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the end. And let me finish with this. To the end. Telos. To completion. You've heard this from Matthew 24, verse 13. I was reading it in the New Testament Greek when I saw this. Due to the increase of lawlessness, the love of the many shall wax cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And I looked at it closely, looking for the definite article. The definite article in the Greek would be what the reason we put a the, and it's not there. And I realized that this statement, endures to the end, appears five times in the New Testament. And did you know the definite article is not there once? So what if Jesus is saying this? He who endures to the whole heart. He who endures all the way. He who endures fully shall be saved. Remember, heaven is the family reunion. And if anyone loves anyone, if anyone phileos anyone more than the Lord Jesus, you're not worthy of the Lord Jesus. So I would ask you to examine yourselves. Okay? Examine yourselves. Think about this. We're going to sing a song as we close. And it's a song, it's a prayer. And I've chosen this song so that we can pray this prayer. And the song is an old hymn, More Love to Thee, O Christ.